Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about the Cavs picking up a second straight win, the team's new two-way player, and the second half of the schedule being released. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home.
Off to Garland for three. Hey, knocks it down.
Drummond toward Valanciunas. Finds a cutter and Okoro, and Okoro thunders it home.
By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie.
Hey, yes. Knocks it down. Love hands it off the Sexton feed. Cavaliers by seven.
And, Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. The Cavs had a big win. But Chris, before we get started, I need to ask you, are you a religious man?
I am not.
Okay, well, either way, let us, as in you and me and our faithful listeners, note faith here, bow our heads in prayer, and pray thanks to Sean Marks for trading the Cleveland Cavaliers Jared Allen for virtually nothing in a worthless first-round pick from the Milwaukee Bucks next year and an expiring and oft-injured player in Dante Exum to the Houston Rockets. It helped make the trade happen, and somehow the Cavs got J.A. out of it. In Kobe Altman's name we pray, amen. Go ahead. Let's talk about the win.
All right, so very impressive win. Evan, let's just start big picture. Cavs win this one. Only real negative is that you had Torian Prince leave the game with a left ankle injury, the same ankle he injured before. He played a mere 8 minutes left, did not return. But Jared Allen has 26-18. The Cavs win 112-96, second game in a row after that 10-game winning streak, where the Cavs have picked up a win. That is a very complicated way of saying the Cavs are now on a two-game winning streak. Colin Sexton had 23. Darius Garland had 11, including 9 in a about 40-second stretch, which was kind of incredible. Jared Allen is the star of the show here, 26-18 and 4 blocks for Allen, who, again, the Cavs got for like a bad first-round pick. So just well done, Kobe Altman. So, Evan, any just kind of generic thoughts?
In his name be praised.
Yes, and any generic thoughts about the game before we dive into our awards here?
It's a real bummer what happened to Torian. He is a key piece for Cleveland's rotation because they had such a dire need for depth on the wing, and I know he could play a little bit of small ball four for the Cavs, but I liked his fit as a 2-3 when the Cavs are kind of a little healthier with Larry Nance playing, and I envisioned he'd be playing more of that role when Kevin Love comes back. So fingers crossed it's nothing serious. The Cavs usually err on the side of caution with their players, so it's going to be a long time for him to come back. But the other player that came from Brooklyn and who we prayed thanks for is Jared Allen, and man, he is so good, Chris. He's only 22 years old. He fits in perfectly with Cleveland's young core and timeline, and it's, again, he's only 22. He's been in the league for 4 years, so he already has a solid foundation where he considers himself a vet, but there's still room to grow, and I'm excited to see where that growth leads him.
On that growth note, I want to ask a quick question before we dive into this. So we were talking before the show started, and when we were planning out what we were going to talk about, how he hit a three-pointer in this game. He's now taken 6 on the season, and he took 6 all of last season with Brooklyn. The year before that, he took like 35, but shot like a very bad percentage, so it's sort of hard to like know what that means a little bit. But Evan, if you could pick one of these two things for him to work on, three-point shooting and playmaking in terms of dribble handoffs and maybe some quick passing out of the middle of the floor when he's at the nail, that spot he can take that little 18-foot jumper at. If you were going to say, okay, I want to see Jared Allen get to do some of this in a game the next chunk of the season, through the end of the season, whatever, which one of those would you pick?
I would definitely pick the playmaking over the three-point shooting. Now, don't get me wrong. I jokingly tweeted about this from the podcast account about how you and I don't complain whenever Jared Allen attempts a three, because it's all like a JaVale McGee three where it's just a surprise that it kind of happens, and it's also not like it doesn't feel like it's a possession killer where Drummond would attempt multiple threes or he wouldn't even try to be a part of the offense, and maybe this is just the look the Cavs get in this situation with Jared Allen taking these threes. But it's cool that those can happen, and I'm okay with him taking those from time to time, but it's not going to be the main feature of his game, because you and I both know he is dominant, truly dominant at the rim in terms of just being a beast in the paint, especially offensively. I think he has like a 71.1% finish. He finishes 71.1% of his possessions at the rim, which is absolutely absurd. And as he improves, he's going to command a bit of a defensive presence. And I think adding that wrinkle in his game where he can add as even a tertiary or a third tier or a fourth tier playmaker for the Cavs, where depending on who he's on the floor with, where it just helps the offensive flow of the team's game. I think that's a lot more beneficial to the team overall than him just becoming a more reliable three-point shooter. Now, don't get me wrong. It'd be great if he can shoot threes consistently, but I'd rather him be a good playmaker out of the roll and the short pass, whether he's like double-teamed the post or something. Like, just small things like that are just huge for Cleveland's offense overall and long-term, and I think that's something I'd rather see happen.
So I agree. And I don't think it's particularly close for me.
I think you and I are on the same.
The three-point shooting can be tantalizing, but I think the maybe that's something you think about for like next season or something. Like I think the playmaking would be sort of more readily available, and it's just the thing that they have publicly said that they want to do, and we haven't seen it yet. Like, Kobe Altman said as much in the, like, one of two times we've heard him speak in the last, like, 12 months. So, I take that as, like, some...
Maybe Jared Allen will play 48 minutes a night, and we'll get that 48 minutes of elite center play, too.
Yeah, maybe him and Dan got to, like, talk about, like, deconstructing toasters or whatever the hell they were going to talk about. Anyway, all right, let's get into awards. Evan, your pick for MVP is whom?
It's the obvious pick and maybe a little bit of a lazy man's pick, but I'm tired. It's been a long day, and he was the best player tonight, but it was Jared Allen without a doubt. 26 points, 18 boards, 6 of those were offensive rebounds, 2 assists, so again, a little tertiary playmaking. He hit a 3-pointer, 4 big block shots. He was second on the team third on the team plus minus at plus 17. Dean Wade finished second with plus 18. Shouts to Dean Wade, but this is a really good game for Jared Allen, and like I said, I cannot emphasize this enough. He's only 22 years old. He's going to be a huge part of Cleveland's plans going forward, clearly, but the fact that he's so young and already has a wealth of NBA experience means there's a lot of potential still there for the Cavs to tap into and help him grow along with the rest of this team. And tonight was just a good example of him being a key piece, because he's going to be a big part of my stat of the night when we talk about it later on. But yeah, no, Jared Allen's my MVP pick. How about you?
I would have gone with him as well. I think he's the kind of the clear winner here. If I were voting in our polls, like, I would not even like consider voting for anyone else. But my pick is going to be Colin Sexton, because even though he had that very slow start, even though he didn't maybe have his like most explosive game overall, still finished with 23 points. I thought still had some good passing moments. I thought still did a good job shot making when the Cavs needed him to, particularly when they started the pull away late into the fourth quarter. That was just a really, really good moment for him. You know, I think you could have made an argument for Darius if he hadn't had the 8 turnovers, but just had a kind of a sloppy game in that regard, even though we posted a double-double. But so I think the answer has to be Colin Sexton. Evan, let's do play of the night next. So I think there's a clear one here, and I know you're going to pick it. And I know our friend of the program, Jeff Nomina, is like going to like hurt one of us if we don't pick it. So,
dude, it was so sweet for Jeff to text us that, though, saying, like, I'm paraphrasing here, but Jeff was saying he's eagerly anticipating us discussing the play of the night, because there were quite a few good plays for the Cavs. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're 100% in allowed to do that. This play is the Jared Allen coast-to-coast dunk. Why don't you tell everyone about it?
And the crazy thing is it came off a Darius Garland moon lob towards the rim where J.A. finished it, and it's just like that was already exciting enough, and that was going to be my initial pick for this play, because I think actually you said like that's my play of the night pick, and then I'm just like, yeah, this is really hard to contend with it. But then immediately after, Jared Allen goes coast to coast and just slams it down, whams it with one hand, as Joe Tate would once say, or whams with the right hand. What, I don't know, I'm too young for this, and maybe I'm just showing my age here, but either way, J.A. Arrett was really good tonight again, and he had the key play, and he was the team's best player tonight, and arguably the best player overall right now. And this play is just the cherry on top of an already exciting back-to-back sequence for Jared Allen.
That play was great. I almost could have gone with the moon dunk, that or the moon lob that Darius threw at him, because it like looked like it was going to be an air ball, but he was really just passing it, and that was like the best way to get it there, and he did it instinctually. Like, that was just really good stuff. I am going to be beating like a dead horse here, so to speak, but like Darius Garland is like giving himself options now in terms of his attacking and playing. Like, he will go in with kind of like a clear option A, but like he sort of knows where his B, C, D kind of escape valves are, and that's like a really impressive leap for him as a passer. I think he's really figuring it out on that end of the floor. I'm pretty darn impressed with that. Evan, mine's just going to be Isaac
maturity and offensive poise for Darius.
Yes. Mine is going to be this Isaac Okoro dunk, or excuse me, block in the fourth quarter. He contests a shot, I think, by Oladipo. I could be wrong about that. My notes were not particularly good at this game. I'll be transparent about that. But he does this, creates an opportunity for Sexton to score at the other end of the floor on a fast break. Isaac had a very good locked-in defensive game. Did a really nice job for the most part on Wall and Oladipo, and dude's defense is just impressive. Just darn impressive for him to do that stuff and just kind of coming up really big in these moments. Again, and it was as a time when the Cavs were kind of pulling away from the game, and this is one of those plays that it's a small thing. You know, might not make like the Sports Center like highlight package of this game or whatever, but like, he's taking a very, very interesting little step forward in that way, and that's pretty darn interesting. All right, Evan, stat of the night for me is pretty simple. Dylan Windler, 4-4 from three. He's now hit 9 consecutive three-pointers without a miss. That puts him up near the top of the Cavs in all-time history. The record is 11, held by Kyrie Irving. So if he hits 3 three-pointers, his next 3 three-pointers in a row, he will set a new franchise record. This just feels big to me for a player that was so clearly in his head and struggling to start the year, and now he's just letting him fly, and you actually do truly love to see it.
No, I do love to see it, and Dylan Windler is short for DW, which is don't worry in my eyes, too, because don't worry, Dylan Windler is never going to miss a shot from three again, and I'm sure I jinxed him by saying this, but Dylan Windler being 4-4 from three and being such a marksman from three-point range is just awesome. It's really something you and I have been kind of beating our fist against our desk for, just saying, like, we need to get Dylan, or JB, not we, JB needs to get the Cavs and Dylan Windler, especially more better looks on the perimeter, and the Cavs clearly are doing that when they have attempted 36 three-pointers tonight. But Chris, my stat of the night pick, like I said, kind of has to go hand-in-hand with, honestly, my two picks in general with Jared Allen and the Moon assist, is the fact that Darius Garland had 10 assists tonight. He wasn't as impactful offensively in terms of scoring. He was 4-14, 3-10 from three. Had a crazy sequence in the third quarter, like you said, where he scored a bunch in about like 50 seconds. And other than that, though, like, the Cavs starters, all five of them, finished in double digits, and a key part of that was Darius moving the rock so well and finishing the night with 10 dimes. And the Cavs overall had 24 assists, so this is just a good overall effort from Cleveland. And offensively, Darius Garland is still making an impact, and like you said, he's got options. Like, either he can be more of a scoring threat, but tonight that he wasn't having it, so he was making impacts in other ways as well.
Yeah, I'm just really happy for Dylan. Evan, any final thoughts before we take a break here?
We really need to get a Frohio shirt going, man. I like the nickname. We're getting support from it. We're starting to move in a cult. We led with prayer tonight for Jared Allen and the cult of Frohio. But we should get a t-shirt going, and maybe instead of profiting off his likeness, we can get some money going towards some charities he's involved with, and just some good vibes going around in an otherwise still pretty crappy world.
All for it.
I'm covered in COVID. So that's just my thoughts. Maybe let's get the Frohio shirt going. So if there's a Cleveland-based designer out there who wants to kind of work with Chris and I and figure out the ropes, because he and I were talking about this beforehand, I know nothing about graphic design, and I would be insulting if I tried to attempt something.
You mean graphic design is not your passion?
No, it's not. I mean, I appreciate good graphic design, like the aesthetic and everything else. Love it. I just don't have the artistic ability. I think I've told you, if money wasn't an option, I'd be an animator, but I don't know how to draw very well, and I learned that as a kid, so I gave up on that pretty
quickly.
Wait, Evan,
before we go to break, you did see that if you saw me on video right now, it was an absolute disaster what I just did there, but the Avatar crew...
You're so excited.
The Avatar crew is going to Nickelodeon. They're going to make more stuff in animated form.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Are they going to have the original writers involved as well?
It's like the people who made the original show.
Okay.
We're good. Because the live action thing fell apart at Netflix.
Oh, did it? I didn't know that. I'm just seeing that They announced it 4 hours ago for Avatar Studios. That's pretty neat with the animated theatrical film. I'll take it. Hopefully it's not as lackluster and mediocre as Korra was. There's my other hot take for the night. Okay. So let's just move forward from here.
That's a tough take. My mind just snapped a little bit. But
the original creators left Korra, and that's when the show took a nosedive in quality. So.
Probably fair. All right, BetOnline, though, is our sponsor on today's show, and BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Evan, I know, is like juiced out of his mind to bet on Bachelor in Paradise when that comes back, because that's just going to be an absolute shit show.
Absolutely. It's going to be a disaster. You put a bunch of sad single people on an island and give them unlimited booze.
And post-pandemic?
And I get to bet money on it? This is going to be a fun time.
Here's a promise. When the off-season comes and we need to fill some dates and we need to like do some stuff, we're going to do some kind of episode that no one will listen to joking about this, and the Lockdown Cavs, Mario Queen herself, Leanne Manning, will come on the show.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it. I better brush up on my batch knowledge so I don't completely.
No, this will be like in season. When like the Cavs have like taken Cade Cunningham and like, you know, we're in between summer league, and we'll figure something out. All right, BetOnline though has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to their website today, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Promo code again is LOCKEDON. And also want to let you know about the Locked On Today podcast. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, rumors are swirling about how long Albert Pujols has left in baseball. Is he the best player of his generation? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Probably where you're listening to Locked On Cavs right now. All right, Evan, I'm going to let you pick. Two-way player, schedule. We ran a little long in that first segment, did a little long of an ad read, so this will be our shorter of the segments here. Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the two-way guy. It's an exciting addition. He has familiarity with former Cavalier Kevin Porter Jr., so in turn, probably has some familiarity with Cleveland, don't you think? Also, my phone hates typing his name out. Chris Fedor said this as well, and I agreed, like, he's got a brutal name, and I'm trying to pull it up right now so I can spell it for the class. I would know about those certain tweets. Yeah, Chris and I are both blocked by notorious NBA insiders. Mm-hmm. So, anyway,
the player's name is Broderick Thomas, Brodric. I actually, when I wrote this down on my legal pad, I'm showing this to Evan right now. I wrote an E in his name, so that's tough. So here's the quick 101 on him if you're not familiar, because I was not. 6'5", 185-pound guard, played at Truman State, a small college in Missouri. It's a D2 school. He
is one of four D2 players to ever play for the Cavs. Ben Wallace, Flip Murray. Oh, sorry, three players. Ben Wallace, Flip Murray, and also Charles Oakley, who was technically drafted by the Cavs and traded. But either way, go ahead.
Yes. So he was the conference player of the year last year in the Great Lakes Valley Conference, with the Rio Grande Vipers, the affiliate of the Houston Rockets. 16.4 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.6 steals, while shooting 43.4% from the field and 36.5% from 3 on 6.5 attempts per game. That's in 8 games in the bubble. For what it is worth, he was not a top 100 prospect in the 2020 class as ranked by ESPN or The Athletic. But Evan, my only take on this is that while I feel for Marquise Bolden, who is no longer a two-way player with the Cavs, I think betting on the wing who can shoot, it seemingly, and has like 6'5 size and whatnot, I do get that is sort of the appeal you would take. This is a little bit of an older prospect. I think he's 24 already, so it's not like there's necessarily a ton of upward mobility there. But in terms of like a guy who can maybe shoot it and maybe defend a little bit and has size to play in the wing, I don't hate this as like a two-way contract bet.
No, he is 24, so yeah, he's a little bit older. We kind of know what his peak is as a player. But yeah, no, this is a This is a better gamble than Marquise Bolden, because the Cavs have a surplus of big men right now, especially with Kevin Love and Larry Nance eventually coming back, and Bolden not even cracking the rotation to begin with, now with Jared Allen in town too. The Cavs need help on the perimeter. They need some depth on the perimeter, and I think Broderick Thomas provides that. He was a bit of a shooter. He played 8 games for the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, and in those 8 appearances, he averaged 16.4 on 43.4% shooting, 7.8 boards, 3 assists, 1.6 steals, and 1.1 blocks. So a little bit of everything. He had a high usage percentage with the Vipers as well during their little G League bubble situation, which you got to take that with a grain of salt, but there is a good chance that maybe he cracks Cleveland's rotation at times too, just because injuries have been a bugaboo for the Cavs, and J.B. Bickerstaff has been comfortable leaning on their two-way players like Lamar Stevens. So Roger Thomas could be kind of an interesting player just for the Cavs to take a look at. He still doesn't answer the Cavs' need for a depth at the point guard, especially if Dele has no clear path to return, but it's an interesting pickup that makes more sense than having Marquise Bolden back in the fold.
Would you like to see him stay in the bubble for now, or would you like to see him come to Cleveland and be on the bench for now? Which one of those would be a better use for you, for at least for the next little bit?
When you say on the bench, he's just not going to play for the Cavs. He's just going to be kind of get a feel for his teammates.
Like, he would be like in case you had an injury and you needed to play someone, because he'd clearly be behind Dotson, Osman, etc. He would be like a guy that around the trade deadline to me that you'd have to maybe play a couple games if you have guys in and out, COVID protocols, and guys switching teams and whatnot.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, if that's the case, you get him to Cleveland sooner instead of later. And just kind of have him quarantined so he's available in the case there's a trade. But, like, because Dotson could be moved, Osman could be moved, but those two players are going to be the ones that are ahead of him in the rotation. Like, Dylan Windler is clearly in the team's plans going forward, so he already has guaranteed minutes in this rotation. And then, like, you have, if Prince is healthy, that makes things a little murkier too. Then you have Sexton and Garland as well. So there's a lot of players that would be playing ahead of him, but I wouldn't be opposed to having him in Cleveland. And I don't even. So, will he technically play for the Canton Charge now? He won't play for Rio Grande Valley anymore?
Yeah. I mean, if he's signed to the Cavs as a two-way player.
Two-way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. That's interesting how that works.
Can I offer you a. I can't see the tweet that it's quote tweeting because of the person whose tweets I can't see at the moment. But Andy Bailey from Bleacher Report just tweeted this about Dylan Windler. Before Tuesday, 5.7 points per game, 0.8 threes per game, 30.4 3-point shooting. Since then, 6.6 points. Now, post, like his two-game bump is 6.6 points. He's shooting 41.8% from three and is taking a half a three more per game.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
No, Dylan Windler is a bit of a free thrower, or flamethrower, not a free throw. Jeez, I'm really slipping up tonight. It's late night Cavs, everybody. Dylan Windler's been a pleasant surprise, and I think him playing so well, you don't really need to have a dire need for Broderick Thomas, but like you said, he's kind of a break glass in case of emergency thing, because, knock on wood, Dylan Windler is injury prone, so something could happen, and but you hope it doesn't. But yeah, no, with the deadline kind of being a month away when this episode comes out, there could be some players that get moved on the back end of Cleveland's rotation, and Broderick Thomas serves a purpose there, and then at that point, he'll just kind of ride out the remainder of his two-way contract with the Cavs this season, and then whatever Canton. I don't know what the plan is with Canton after this. Maybe he hangs out with Canton too, but I wouldn't be opposed to him coming up to Cleveland.
I would guess he just. I don't think there's plans for the G to do anything post the bubble.
Really? Like, I know the G League bubble is just to showcase the Ignite team and show that this project works. So
yeah, it's a little bit of a tough.
Let's pull the veneer back and the curtain back for what it is.
It's frankly like a tough look for like the real working class like professional athlete that's like trying to use it as like a springboard.
The dudes who fly the same class I do and probably have to pay for their airfare like I do, have a pretty rough go out of this. And this is just a showcase to show off that high school players have better avenues than college, so they don't get in trouble for taking money to help take care of their families. But that's a case and a story for another day. But I think he would just play it out in the bubble, then come to Cleveland. But if he could come to Cleveland sooner, I think that'd be ideal.
Yeah. All right, Evan, let's go into another break. Why don't you tell everyone about another great sponsor here of Locked On Cavs?
Well, one of our great sponsors is Rock Auto, and at Broderick Thomas, you happen to be listening to the show. Thank you. But if you need to get to Cleveland fast, you should tune up your car with our friends at Rock Auto. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everyone and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we at Locked On Cavs sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at RockAuto.com. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. This week, we have two conversations for you to wrap up the month. First, a discussion on protest in sports across the leagues. Then, tune in for a discussion on the importance of black history in sports, what's been achieved, and what the important work left to be done, all in discussion on the Locked On Presents podcast feed. Subscribe on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts, probably the same place you find Locked On Cavs.
All right, Evan, last segment here. The Cavs' second half season schedule has been announced. They will come back after the break on March 12th in New Orleans, and they start on a three-game road trip to start the second half of the season. Kind of an interesting little bit for them. They will play 17 games at home, 19 on the road. They finish on May 12th in Boston in the regular season, and they will have three-game road trips, one 4-game road trip, and it's kind of a tough schedule. It starts off a little bit easier. According to it's Positive Residual, it is
brutal,
the set. Well, they say it's the seventh easiest schedule the rest of the way, from including Wednesday's game. So, like, it is easier than the brutal run they've had. But Evan, here are their games in May, and this is kind of how I want to talk about this. Here are the games that Cleveland plays in May: home versus Miami, home versus Phoenix, home versus Portland, away, and then home versus Dallas, home versus Indiana, and, as noted, home versus the Boston Celtics. All of those teams should be better than the Cavs. The Celtics are kind of imploding right now, which, check out Locked On Celtics if you want to figure out what's going on there. But all these teams should be better than the Cavs. All those teams have more realistic playoff hopes than the Cavs. 538 right now, for example, gives the Cavs a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. That's not a lot. It was as high as 8% around January 6th, according to their metrics. So take that for what it's worth. But That's a really brutal end of the schedule, and that's like, if the Cavs get to that point if they somehow get into the play-in tournament or whatever, it'll be a really, really darn impressive accomplishment. The odds are kind of stacked against them, even if the schedule isn't quite as brutal as it was before.
No, the odds really are stacked against the Cavs. I think opening up the second half of the season against New Orleans is not an ideal slate to start things off, but I think that West Coast road trip kind of stinks. Well, it's not just a West Coast road trip, because they're in Chicago too, but they play the Lakers. They play a surprisingly better Kings team. I thought they were really going to implode under Luke Walton, but I think De'Aaron Fox playing so well is just going to make them a problem for Cleveland. And then wrapping that up in Utah with voice of the Locked On Podcast Network and the Utah Jazz, David Locke, talking about the Cavs. Like, I think that's just a brutal stretch for the Cavs. And, like, what you laid out towards the end of the season also is just hard, too. Like, the Cavs are likely, especially after they make some moves, they're probably going to be adding some pieces for Andre Drummond, or they will buy out Drummond outright. But, like, yes, the Cavs looked good against Atlanta, and yes, the Cavs looked good against Houston, but those are teams that are kind of in Cleveland's stratosphere and tiering right now. Like, Atlanta is a team I bought too high on, and they are underperforming, to say the least. And like I said, they'd probably be better if they had Colin Sexton over Trae Young. But I think the Cavs are going to be playing for lottery positioning more than playoff positioning at that point. I know, like, the play-in tournament is towards the end of the season, and the Cavs would like to be a part of that show, but I just don't think realistically they're going to get there, because the Cavs just have a very brutal stretch to finish the rest of their season, and that's okay. I mean, I think it's for the best the Cavs don't make the playoffs. I think it's good that they're a bad team that's trying to be competitive. I think that's an admirable thing to be at in this rebuild now, instead of a team that is actively trying to lose just because of how the lottery system works. But fortune didn't favor the Cavs, and they just kind of have some, they have some winnable games between now and then. Like, I think that Boston game might be a bit more winnable just because of how the Celtics are kind of falling apart at the seams. But yeah, the Cavs just kind of got dealt a bad hand just the way the schedule was laid out. But I think it also is a advantageous thing for them long term as well, just because Cade Cunningham in a Cavaliers uniform would be well worth a crappy second half of the season.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll sit well with the guys and you know, whatever comes out of that, but it's interesting. I just want to note that I did misspeak. So the Cavs, the last home game is on May 12th against Boston. They play at Washington on Friday, May 14th, and then they play Sunday.
That's a makeup game, I think.
Yes, and then at Brooklyn on the 16th. So but I do think the way it works out now, unless they squeeze in some other games, Well, I guess that Spurs game is the makeup game. I haven't done the counting yet to see if they're actually going to make up the get to 72. We'll see. But Evan, as you, I have to look at that. I don't exactly know. I haven't really thought that much about it yet. I'm mostly just like, okay, can they get through the season healthy and why not? But in terms of the teams that they're gonna play second half of the season, who are you kind of circling on the calendar? Like, okay, this is a game I want to just see how the Cavs do, how they stack up against this team. I have a couple. Who are yours?
I have a couple. Starting out, they play Atlanta on March 14th. I think the Hawks are just a not good team defensively, and that last matchup against Cleveland was a little bit of a nail biter because it went down.
Watch Trae Young. In the lead up to Lamar Stevens dunk and then highlight. It is crazy.
Yeah, just or more so in general, watch the entire Hawks in that Lamar Stevens dunk. They all just stopped playing because I think they thought there was a foul in that play, and that's just wild to me. Like, that's just bad coaching. Like, I still think Lloyd Pierce is on the hot seat. I think Nate McMillan, I know, like, listen a lot on Hawks with Brad Rollin to get a better idea of that, but like, I think Nate McMillan would have this Hawks team playing a lot better and they'd be actually a playoff threat versus what they are with Lloyd Pierce. I have that circled. I think San Antonio is still, I know the Cavs didn't get to play them this week or last week, which is a disappointing thing, but the Spurs are, again, a very elite defensive team, and they have a very exciting stable of young guards on their team, headlined by Derek White, my draft crush from a few years ago. But that'll be an interesting test for Garland and Sexton. I mean, like, the Raptors are always a big game just because they're an interesting squad with Lowry and Van Vliet and Powell, and maybe that's where Andre Drummond ends up, and that'll be just like an awkward reunion game. And then obviously the Lakers as well. I always want to watch LeBron play his former team, and it's going to be probably a massacre. Anthony Davis probably won't play, but even then, I don't think the Cavs have an answer for LeBron, just some of the firepower the Lakers have. And the Lakers, that's the day after the deadline, and I'm sure the Lakers will make some type of move before then to maybe push the needle even further, because the Jazz are pesky and the Clippers are pesky as well, and they want to make sure they ensure their title defense. So it's going to be, those are the three games I kind of have marked. How about you?
So here are mine. Number one, I think I just want to see how the Cavs, I just am fascinated. Zion is fascinating to watch. I want to see how the Cavs approach defending Zion when they kick off that second half of the season. Just frankly, just
well, I mean, we could really get biblical again and talk about the Crusades and what the Christians did against Zion itself. But
like, did you see him truck Tristan Thompson the other day?
Yeah, I did. It's also like a 300-pound behemoth that has rocket boosters built into his legs. Zion's a freak of nature, and Stan Van Gundy has him playing well. The Pelicans are a disappointing team too, but I think Zion is pretty freaking good.
Yeah. Hot take. Big hot take. Zion
Williamson. Yeah, real controversial one. Zion Williamson's good, everyone. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Okay, so my other two, you named one of them Toronto, and then my other one is Sacramento, because Sexton versus De'Aaron Fox could just stylistically be a lot of fun. And Tyrese Halliburton, who should be starting for them, but he's not, is pretty freaking good. And I just like seeing young backcourts against each other. And then the last one is Chicago, because I tend to think Chicago is a little better than Cleveland. I think Zach Levine's obviously been incredible. I want to see Okoro defend Zach Levine, and you know what? I'll do some Lauri Markkanen scouting, I guess. But those are the three for me in the crux of the schedule. And then again, I just want to. We don't know where they're going to be at. Like, to me, just based on what 2020 was like and what 2021 has been like, it just feels like April and the spring. The Dream of Spring, the Game of Thrones book, to quote the Game of to reference the Game of Thrones book that is never going to come out. George, respect my guy. May's a long time away, but that run to end the season, I don't know what the Cavs are going to look like. I don't know. Like, will Kevin Love be healthy and playing by then? I hope so. Like, will we see growth from all these guys? Like, you know, is Jared Allen going to be like playing out of his mind still? Like, maybe, but that May run to end the season is both like going to, it's going to shape, I think, a lot about how we feel going into the offseason on so many different ways, just because it could be draft related. If it could be them just getting their teeth kicked in for like 8 straight games, or like maybe they're friskier than we thought down the stretch and still like end up near the top of the lottery, but you know, maybe like it's not quite as pessimistic in the year, because I just that to me will just be an interesting stretch to watch. And you know, I don't, there obviously will probably not be a full, hopefully not a full arena of fans in May, but I just prayed again. But Luka in Cleveland, if there's any, even a portion of the Slovenian population, that's always kind of a cool environment.
Yeah, it is a cool environment. It's a lot of fun for sure. I am intrigued by the Chicago matchup, because interestingly enough, that's the last team Cleveland played before their season went on hold, or their life went on hold for 9 months. So just kind of fun to always play Chicago. Plus, you know, that there's a bit of a rivalry there too, so that's fun. But for those listening, let us know what games you're looking to in the second half of the season. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review and we'll be giving you a shout out, and I will read the review live on air and probably butcher your name, whichever you submit. But Chris, why don't we send everybody home and wrap this puppy up for Thursday?
That is going to be it for today. As Evan noted, we'll be back tomorrow with a special guest from WKYC. There'll be that'll be our video for the week as well, because we haven't done that yet. But we'll be back, and then the Cavs play the 76ers on Saturday. So we'll see Jared Allen and Joel Embiid square off, I think, assuming Embiid plays and everything like that. But until then, till tomorrow, talk to y'all. Thanks all for listening. Thanks to our sponsors, BetOnline and Rock Auto. And we'll talk to y'all soon.